PFT Media.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
I have put many beautiful piñatas in the storeroom, each of them filled with little surprises.
Many piñatas?
Oh, yes, many!
Would you say I have a plethora of piñatas?
A what?
A plethora.
Oh, yes. You have a plethora.
Jefe, what is a plethora?
Why, guapo?
Well, you told me I have a plethora. And I just would like to know if you know what a plethora is. I would not like to think that a person would tell someone he has a plethora and find out that that person has no idea what it means to have a plethora.
The battle for the mind of North America will be fought in the video arena. The video drum. The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, the television screen is part of the physical structure of the brain. Therefore, whatever appears on the television screen emerges as raw experience for those who watch it.
We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be.
Cinema Crespediso.
That was a weird pause. Why are you laughing, Drew? Your indignation is causing the audio to stop.
He's funny. He's very, very funny.
Okay, we're good, guys. Welcome to episode 248 of Cinema Crespediso. Yay! We did it. We're here. We're chilling with Drew Sakagwa. Drew, what's up, dude?
What's up, dude?
How you doing, dude?
Doing. Dude.
Threat update. Current threat level is tomato. Current threat level color is tomato. Your doubts have been quarantined. We got your weather updates. We didn't get hit with the hurricane over here. That was the panhandle in Louisiana, I believe. So, sucks to be them. Also, current traffic update. Puerto Rico is still underwater and they need your help. That's your traffic update. Drew.
Chris.
We got a returning guest.
You.
An injured one. But she still made her way here. And we're so happy to have her. Happy to have her back. We practically did an entire bonus episode off mic. Talking about D-Box seats and the T2 ride that's shutting down today. Rest in peace, T2 3D. What was it? In Time? Back in Time? Does it have a subtitle?
Back in Time.
Back in Time? Oh, rest in peace. That's the real rest in peace. We're not giving shout-outs to... I was going to go somewhere bad. Ladies and gentlemen, first let me go ahead and introduce my guest before I say something to sabotage myself. Back here with us in studio, Jen Margus. Yes, Jen.
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Doing okay.
Thank you so much for coming out. We appreciate it.
Of course. I couldn't stay away.
Yeah, good. That's what I like. You'd be surprised how sometimes I ask people to come on.
Like, oh, yes. And they're like, really?
Why am I doing this again? No, thank
movies?
You.
Movies?
Yes. No, well, thank you so much for coming back. Reminding me that Terminator 2 3D at Universal Studios shutting down today.
Sad face.
What a bummer. That's 20 years now. Over 20 years that thing has been open.
Yeah.
So old, it had a Shaquille O'Neal free throw, can't hit free throws joke in there. And he was even wearing the colors of the Magic.
Yep.
Oof. Oof Magoof. That did not age well with here are the locals.
Even with the laser eye, he couldn't make it.
Even with the laser eye. If we give him a laser eye, he'd still be missing. We know that's a lie. Skynet. You lying to a Skynet. You just want to take over the world, which they're doing. Cyberdyne exists.
It's true.
Same as Google.
Yeah. No, I mean, okay, Google is like...
Well, yeah, Cyberdyne is... That's bullshit Cyberdyne.
Google is Skynet. Cyberdyne is an actual cybernetic design company in Japan.
That hasn't put out anything in, what, like 30 years?
No, it's a newer company. The guy just never... He's an older Japanese dude who's never heard of Terminator and never watched it because he doesn't watch movies. He just knows that Cyberdyne is like the most logical name for the company that he wants to do.
It's Battle Across Time. My apologies.
Battle Across Time. Yes, I knew it had something to do with time, though. Yes. Battle Across Time. Yes, such an iconic song. And they got, man, James Cameron, like, designed a ride. He filmed it with the original actors. That's no small feat. The theater itself cost $50, $60 million to make. And that's mid-90s dollars. That's like if today they opened a, they built a theater at Universal, it'll probably cost them over $100 million. 5 70-millimeter film projectors running simultaneously, which is why it has better 3D than most modern 3D movies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And it's gone. Oh, when that T-1000 thing sticks out its long, like, tentacle things right into the theater, and it's, like, coming right at your eyeball. No movies can't do that now. Right? Right, Drew? When was the last time you saw a 3D movie and something was coming at you like that, like, so aggressively?
I don't really see that many 3D movies, couldn't tell you.
I guess that's true too, right? Do you see a lot of 3D movies, Jen?
Sometimes. It depends on if I feel that it would complement
right.
the story versus just be schlocky.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, is it a gimmick or is it right. actually working? Do you remember the last 3D movie you saw? What was the one that we saw, Drew? I saw Ghost in the Shell in 3D.
Oh,
God. Because I saw the trailer in 3D, and it gave me an idea that it might have been a good decision.
It was not.
And I was wrong. That was a mistake.
The last one I can remember is Freddy versus Jason.
That's forever ago!
I know.
Oh, my goodness. There's been some ones I've been worth it since then.
Yeah.
The Jungle Book benefited greatly from 3D.
Yes, it did.
Because it's truly an animated movie anyway.
Right.
And what was the other one we saw? Doctor Strange utilized the third dimension quite well. Yes. Nice. In storytelling ways to expand upon ideas of what they were trying to get across.
Actually,
different realms of physics and stuff.
Mad Max. They did that in 3D.
We saw it in 3D?
Yeah, Mad Max Fury Road, yeah. Because during the final crash at the end, the giant stupid steering wheel almost smacks you in the face.
The steering wheel comes right at you. Yes, there are shots that are specifically designed for 3D. That is correct. Yeah, but that's already been a few years.
Yeah.
I take that back. I think I've seen the most recent one as like an IMAX 3D movie.
Sure.
Like Space Junk or something at the Science Center.
Yes. What did we see that was... It wasn't in 3D, though. Actually, no, what we saw in 3D was that Terrence Malick Voyage Through Time.
Uh-huh.
It was a 45-minute cut, right? It was only 45 minutes. I still fell asleep through part of it because I was so tired. And it's no narration, right?
Nope.
It's 45 minutes, his version of time, the birth of time and everything.
Like flowers and bloom and things like that.
Big Bang. Yeah. Start with the Big Bang and then getting all the way to flowers and bloom. And beautiful, beautiful music, but it was the ultra-wide edition.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like, if the widest scope you see now is the 2.3 to 1, where it's like, you know, just widescreen, this was like almost 3 to 1 in terms of width. So when we saw it on the IMAX screen, it was still like just the middle of that gigantic IMAX screen because it was so wide. But fortunately, the screen's so big, then it still had the height.
Almost like a circle vision at Epcot.
It would have been, they would have had to like put this on globe or something. Yeah. Not even like a circular room. It would have been, and then your chair would be rotating. It was a weird thing to see. Obviously not a sustainable format, but still. That was why when we saw Drew and I, and that, you know how big that theater is?
Mm-hmm.
There was exactly...
like 5 people, maybe 6?
I was going to say 1. So less than 5.
Well, including us.
Including us.
Wow.
So including us, there were maybe 5 people would be generous. It is a big theater. Or it could have been someone sitting awkwardly in the corner, jacking off to visions of outer space.
We would have never known.
Yeah, we would never have known.
Spread out. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, but the thing is, we were still kind of bunched up together because we were like, well, I want the best seat possible. So, what are we even... Oh, yeah, so RIPS, Rest in Peace, Terminator 2,
R.I.P.
3D, Battle Through Time?
Battle Across Time.
Battle Across Time, Through Time, Across Time, through the adventures through the fifth dimension. Was it Booker Bonsai? Guys, we got a whole show to do. Let's get this started with the streaming pick of the week, which means we're going to do that intro, and Drew's going to grab that thing, and here we go.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Craspediso streaming.
That's right, streaming pick of the week time. We do this every week. We let you know what is out there because there are just so many options, just too much to choose from in terms of streaming entertainment. You can just spend forever looking through a library. So we let you know. We help you out. The last 5-6 picks been supplied by Juicy Cogburn himself. So ladies and gentlemen, here we go. What is this week's pick of the week, Jen?
The Prestige.
Oh, the prestigitation. Prestigitation? What's that word?
Prestige.
The prestigitation. First you have the, what is it, the reveal? The Prestige. It's in the trailer. Love this movie. Christopher Nolan's The Prestige, or as we call it, Drew.
Batman v. Wolverine as Dueling Magicians.
Dueling Magicians.
Yeah, that's what it is.
With their magic waggle fingers. Yeah, I mean, on the poster, they're both like this.
I mean, Alfred's even in the movie.
Alfred's in the movie working for Wolverine. Traitor. Yeah.
And also...
And Black Widow's in the movie.
Yeah, Black Widow's in the movie,
working
too.
Working both sides.
Yeah, as always.
As always.
It's streaming on both Netflix and Showtime right now.
Netflix and Showtime. Mm-hmm. There you go. Well, Netflix users, prestige it up. Showtime users, what are you waiting for?
Oh man, David Bowie's Tesla in this movie.
Yes.
Fucking Andy Serkis is his human self in this movie. Well, which is Andy very Serkis, rare.
They did motion capture, but then they painted Andy Serkis on top of himself.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, we need you to look 2 years older, so we're gonna mocap you. And he's like, "Fine, whatever. I'm used to it." So you just walk around, and you can find there's production photos. If you Google Andy Serkis production photos, The Prestige, just pictures of him. Everyone else is dressed in their full period appropriate clothing. Christopher Nolan's standing there,
stupid dots all over him.
Because we all know how much Christopher Nolan loves CG and trickery like that. But decent amount of actually bits of CG in this,
a little bit.
For the final act that Hugh Jackman's character comes up with, because there's electricity involved. I guess all the electricity stuff.
More than likely.
That's all been. But that's, I guess, in the long
run. I mean, in the long run, that's the only way you can get electricity to part for David Bowie as he walks through it.
And then he emerges out of the
And it closes
mist.
Back behind him, and it's like, what the fuck?
Like, what? And then he's like, nice to meet you. I'm Nikola Tesla. Give me your monies so I can misspend it.
Yes. But I'm going to clone things.
He died penniless, Tesla, so all that money that he took from those billionaires, those philanthropists, at least we can know that he didn't line his own pockets with them.
No, he did not.
No, he did not at all.
He died penniless. He put it all into his wild and crazy work, and if only we had given him more money, maybe
we could be living in a completely different future.
Better is a presumption.
Yeah.
Different for sure.
Darn you, Westinghouse.
I put away the other app. I got it. I need a better go through this every week. The Prestige is fantastic, based on a book by Christopher Priest, I believe his name is, and it's a great book. The book is written to be, it's the both dueling magicians, it's their going through their diaries back and forth, and they incorporate the diaries in the movie by making them like clues for each other, and they're reading each other's entries and stuff. So it's actually interesting how the book has its own way of revealing its crazy secrets and facts or whatever. Christopher Nolan took that and he did the cinematic version. It's great. It's a great adaptation of a great book, and it's a great pick.
Yeah.
Good job, Jen.
Thanks.
Are you a Christopher Nolan fan overall?
I wouldn't say a big fan, but I appreciate the way he likes to manipulate things.
He is a manipulator for sure.
Yeah.
Masterclass. Do you find him cold? Like his movies, emotionally cold, or because that's been a big thing for a lot of people.
I think he expresses emotion in his own way. He's not overly sentimental.
That's Spielberg.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Which I want to see that HBO's got a documentary.
I think it just came out yesterday.
Yeah.
I think it's available now. It's just called Spielberg, right?
Yep.
It's like 2.5 hours. I've read a couple of things, but I
want to see that.
I'm a big fan, so it's probably a bit of a hagiography, you know, like, oh, look how great this guy is, but still.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is you gotta be careful. No more heroes, you know. What secrets does he have? He's a womanizer.
He's got the worst.
He's been a known womanizer, so
yeah, but he's got the worst. I mean, he's probably like the worst awful human, because you don't
That's the thing. He's been a nerd most of his life. Yeah, and in this, you ever read Easy Rider's Raging Bulls?
No, I haven't read it.
It's a book about, for people who are interested in film history, it's a book specifically about the 70s, so when the asylums were running the asylum was run by the lunatics, the inmates.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you knew what I was going for. Uh-huh. And so it was going through all their vices, right? Obviously, the drugs were a big thing. Mm-hmm. Apocalypse Now was made under a huge cocaine binge of epic proportions, and acid and other mm-hmm. things were involved in making that. Scorsese battled cocaine, like it almost took him down, and you know, he got clean and made Raging Bull. That was the end of his like 70s run. Lucas, hanging around epically clean, did nothing. Spielberg didn't drink. I think he maybe drank a little. Didn't do drugs, not into coke, didn't even smoke weed. Not into that stuff. When he was making Jaws at the age of 27, how he de-stressed, there was always at least one or two chicks waiting for him.
I was about to say a lady. Yep.
Yes, waiting.
Or two.
Yes, one or so two. So
he's more like the Ted Nugent type, where his drug is pussy.
He's got that libido. He's like, I gotta feed this libido. Older man now, I don't know if he's still... I'm not gonna disparage him unnecessarily, because I'm sure these things will come out in the wash one way or the other. Our heroes come down. That's why I say no more heroes, because we hold these people up, and then we find out that they're terrible people.
Well, it's because they're people, so they're inherently
Yes, and then when we start expecting more of them as heroes, we set ourselves up for disappointment as opposed to just letting them live their lives and we live ours.
Correct. You know?
And we can still take inspiration from them without exalting them.
You could be heroes just for one day.
For one day?
Just for one day.
Maybe.
And then the public will tear you down.
Now you're speaking to my soul right there. Just for a day. Bowie's a hero. No,
he is.
He's dead now.
He's dead.
He's an alien.
He is an alien.
He's Stardust.
He was gifted to us by the aliens, and fortunately, this one we didn't kill. We tend to kill them. Your JFKs and your Jesuses and whatnot.
Stupid cancer.
God. It affects everyone.
It does.
Everyone, one way or another, it's affected, and it's brutal. So, you know, one day we'll solve it, or it'll solve us.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, you know, this. While this is an entertainment program, we are not ones to shy away from the realities of...
Hashtag no lives matter, Chris.
No lives matter. In the long run. In the long enough timeline. That's very Fight Club of you. Mm-hmm. The long enough timeline. All the survival rates drop to zero.
Correct.
But in the interim, right now, we know what's going on. It's stay woke, but also we're all dead.
Stay woke!
TJ Miller does this whole thing where it's like, we're all dead all the time. That's why he doesn't care at all. It seems to be working for him.
Yeah.
And he almost did die. He had like a crazy brain aneurysm or something.
Sweet.
That he was maybe even in a coma for a minute or whatever. And it's but then he's come out of it. It's like, see, what I tell you, man, we're all dead. Let's just get on with Yogi Bear 2 already. He still thinks Yogi Bear is the greatest thing he's ever done. I can't tell if he's serious or not.
I bet you that's how he's made the most money he's ever made.
Maybe that's how he judges it by. Yeah, so I wonder
straight where... paychecks. I guarantee that was the biggest.
Yeah. So where does he put the emoji movie?
What about Silicon Valley?
He left that.
Like, I know.
Yeah, and like famously trashed some people on his way out.
Yeah, some people thinks he went a little...
Maybe he's going a little overboard with this whole... Yeah.
Like there's some tiger blood or something in there.
Oh, that's not good. That's possible, though.
Yeah, it's possible.
When you look back now on the whole Charlie Sheen tiger blood going insane, all missiles firing tour thing, like this guy's going insane, what's going on? Then we find
out... Keeps dying.
6 years later, he had just found out that he was diagnosed with HIV. Like, the timeline adds up. No wonder he was going crazy. He was going through a health crisis and a mental health crisis, and then we all sat back and laughed at him on our talk
radio. It was hilarious.
And from the outside looking in, without context, yes, look at this guy. He's going crazy. But then you realize what's going on. Like, that's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
That's so
sad. The way it works.
Is it usually the way it works?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yeah.
This guy's very much all ain't no we can do about it.
Oblivion, bro.
Oh,
sweet. Oh, sweet, sweet, and keep laughing.
So when you watch The NeverEnding Story, you're cheering for the nothing.
Yeah.
The nothing.
When Atreyu gets swallowed by the quicksand, I'm just like, finally. Took fucking long enough.
You're like, maybe this will be the time where it finally happens.
Atreyu!
That nothing's going to finally enter and end it all. Enter and where are we going here? Let's see. Here we go. Time to get into that. Talk about that Money Box Office Top 5. 5. Drew, where are we starting? Number 5.
Number 5. Kingsman, colon, the Golden Circle.
The colon, Golden Circle.
The Golden Circle is the colon.
In the colon?
In the colon.
It made $8.1 million, total of 79, on a budget of 104.
What was the total again?
79.
79? Don't we have an international number on that?
Somewhere, I'm sure.
Because that is not too hot.
Oh, 173 foreign.
Okay, so it's going to make its money back thanks to international audiences, but not doing exactly what they wanted to, considering this movie is for sure set up for a third.
Right.
It does tell its own story. It completes the story. It doesn't leave anything open-ended, but it then does like dangle a thread like, well, if we make a third one, this is where it's going. Which, to be honest, I would see that movie.
I would, too.
Did you see Golden Circle?
I saw it.
Are you a fan of the Secret Service? Did you like the first one?
I actually did. Okay. I didn't think that I would, but I enjoyed it.
Low expectations.
I did.
Me too. Low expectations. And then I was like, this is enjoyable. I was like, Colin Firth got here. He was great.
I love him.
I really liked him as an actor. Like, he's a fine actor, but right. Now he's going to do. But then now I think back, all right. So when I remember when Matt Damon was cast for Jason Bourne, and it was like, Matt Damon, dude, like, Good Will Hunting, get out of here.
Matt Damon.
And then,
that guy.
And then he's amazing. And that subsequently, he's like, oh, yeah, now he's fine with action. We always have to get over this stupid hump that for whatever reason we put up for ourselves. So I put up the stupid thing with Colin Firth. He can't be an action guy.
He's going to be in a wet shirt.
It's a movie. Yes.
Speaking of Matt Damon, I'm really looking forward to this Suburbicon.
Written by the Coens in the 80s.
It looks like an action comedy. And now that he's all done being Jason Bourne, he's kind of pudgy a little bit. But he can still kick ass. So,
yeah, well,
I think it's going to be fun.
This is for sure a thing where he's putting on because he did this and then I think he did Downsizing after. I don't know the order, but both movies are coming out this year, and you can see in Downsizing, that's normal Matt Damon, and he's, like, not pudgy.
No.
And in Suburbicon, he's definitely a little...
Oh, yeah.
He's a little fatty. He's a little crispy.
He's got a dad bod.
He's overly dad bod. He's like...
Dad bod.
He's like, man, I like extra jelly on my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. What are you going to do? That sugar's so good. all right. So, low expectations. When is the Secret Service? Liked it. Same here. Then going into Golden Circle, expectations are going up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I was disappointed with the movie. How about you? What did you think? Did you like it?
I did not enjoy it as much as the first.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like it was trying to outdo.
In some ways, yes, right?
A lot of things, but just, oh my God, Julianne Moore, so creepy.
I love her. I think she's great.
I love her. In
great anything. Casting, yeah. An interesting choice for villainy, what she's doing, right? I like the whole, I'm like the most successful businesswoman in the world and no one knows because she's a drug dealer, right? But what was the point of, do I still have my echo on? What was the point of, I had a little bit of echo on there. What was the point of, this is that spoilery, but there's like the forced cannibalism.
Yeah.
Thing. Like, what did that? Because I was like, that's an interesting detail for this character that they introduced right away.
Mm-hmm.
How is it going to play down the road? It never comes back up. It's not like a thing that continues to happen. So
right. It
felt like throughout this movie, that's indicative of a lot of things in the movie where like things happen and then they don't play out.
Yeah, it's like she's already sadistic, but you have to make her disgusting.
Yeah, disgusting on top of it, but then it's not going to pay off later.
Right.
Same thing happened with the setup for bringing back Harry's character, and then like the questions of whether he can do his job, whatever, and then it's just like it resolves itself, and a lot of things just resolve themselves.
Yeah.
It felt almost lazy. It was weird.
It's like they're almost in a rush to set up 3, but we don't know how yet.
Yes, right? They were like, let's build this world.
Right.
But, oh, we also need a story.
Oh, yeah, we gotta tie this loose end. We gotta open this up.
And I also read online that they cut out like 30, 40 minutes of the movie.
Whoa.
Which explains maybe why Channing Tatum disappears.
Okay, I want a director's cut.
Right.
I want to see how that works out.
I just want explanations. I want explanations. But you agree with me, though, with the way they ended it. That seems like a fun third movie, right?
Yep.
Right? I wish they just went ahead and made that this movie.
It was definitely a setup.
It was definitely a setup for something better. Drew didn't see Golden Circle, unfortunately. Nope. So, and I don't think he's running out to now anytime soon, are you?
Maybe it'll show up on Netflix one day and I'll catch it. Or not.
That's how I caught the first one.
Yeah, you came around to it. Okay, yeah.
I did.
I went out and saw it the first one in the theater, and I was like, "This is good. I like this.
Awesome.
It was fun."
Everybody's heads exploded at the end, and those beautiful colors. I literally laughed in the theater.
Yeah.
Oh,
Number four this week, Chris.
Well, you just jumped right to number four.
Damn straight.
But we were okay. I guess. So what? Yeah, I guess that's it. I guess that's the end of the
My Little Pony, the movie.
Surprising.
Made $8.8 million.
Surprising because of the lack of advertising. I just found out about the existence of this movie like 2 weeks ago.
Me too.
Apparently, yeah. Just the fact that it exists will bring in $8 million.
It's families. You know, it is. The one thing I read that makes me vaguely interested in the success of this movie and what it could mean, it's 2D animation. Which is... Yeah. No one's doing 2D animation anymore. That's like almost extra work. Mm-hmm. It's almost like... Now, if you want to shoot on film versus digital, it's extra work to go jump all through all the hoops to get the film, to find people to process, et cetera, et cetera. Now it's harder to find the people with the skill to do a 2D animated film versus getting all these computer animators to make your 3D animated movie. You know what I mean?
I was very surprised that they didn't do like a huge social media push. Like they did for the Emoji Movie or Lego Movie. Emoji Movie is
everywhere.
Yeah.
What's the studio behind this? Does it say?
Lionsgate.
Really?
Lionsgate. That's a decent size. They have the money to promote. Can you pull up the Rotten Tomatoes? I'm curious as to whether it's even a good movie because that'll determine whether or not we end up talking about this thing down the road.
58%.
Well, we won't be talking about this ever again. No. Why? Why is it 15%?
Charming and Sweet My Little Pony, the movie, will please its dedicated fan base, even if it's unlikely to encourage non-devotees to gallop along for the ride.
So is that on the brony scale? Or
yeah, right? Is that for, exactly. Is that for weird dudes? We're not kink shaming here. Or nerd shaming. It's kind of a kink, right? It's a kink.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Like that fuzzy...
Yeah, the furries.
Yeah.
We're not kink shaming on this show.
No.
The guys, get your shit together. So let's move on then to...
Number three!
It
made $9.6 million. Total of $304.
$304.
Domestic.
Wowie, wow. That's an insane amount of money.
$298. Foreign.
It's got to be now top five... grossing for R-rated films.
603 worldwide.
Man.
It's like the Wonder Woman of horror movies.
Getting that way.
Yeah.
It's getting that way. I think it's only 30 million shy of Passion of the Christ. Maybe even...
Wow.
And so Deadpool, it's coming up on Deadpools too for when it comes to North American box office. That is a lot of money. Obviously... September 6th or 9th, 2019 is when we're getting it, Chapter 2. But it's been a good year for R-rated films making money.
Yes, it has.
And that's great for us as adult film watchers because then we'll be getting more movies that don't pander to teenagers as much as they do pander to us and our adult sensibilities. And what could be worse than getting art that panders to what you want? Like, it gives you what you want. You know what I mean?
Number two this week.
You know what I'm saying? Wait, so you saw It?
I did.
Did you like it like everyone else?
Because
it's pretty well liked.
I loved It.
Okay.
And this is coming from someone who is not traditionally a horror fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a goof. I like the 1990 TV adaptation.
You like that piece of garbage?
I know.
It's cheesy.
I loved it. And I know that thing by heart.
Sure.
I could totally quote it for you now.
Is that a nostalgia thing then? Is that the same reason why I like the Ernest movies? And I love Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. It's a shitty movie. But yeah. I love, with my heart, I love that movie.
Well, with the casting in the 90s.
The casting is huge.
Yeah, I love Harry Anderson from Night Court. I love John Ritter. All those folks. Dennis Christopher.
That's true. It is a very... Because it's a TV movie, so they're pulling on what are our best available TV actors that people... Because now there's no... People have no compunction about movie actors being on TV shows, TV actors. There's that line has been blurred. But in 1999, that was still a very definitive thing. To go from TV to movies and back and forth was a big thing.
There's no shame in it anymore.
No, there is no shame in it anymore. Which, what does that say about art? I don't know. I remember the bathroom scene. When it comes out of the drain, when I saw that, freaked me out so much. I was watching, I had the lights off. I was like, I'm going to watch the movie with the lights off.
Yeah.
That scene happened. I jumped up out of my chair, ran, and then I turned the lights on. And then I watched the movie with all the lights on the rest of the movie when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But then I rewatched it when I was in college, I think. And I was like, this is not holding up like I had hoped it would.
It's definitely a nostalgia thing, but I was very surprised at how much I liked the 2017 version.
It's good.
Yeah, and Bill Skarsgård with his creepy stares. Oh, he doesn't have to talk.
He doesn't. No, right? He's just the way he just looks at you. Ugh. Like, what's standing there with the balloons, and he's just looking at you across the field. Ugh. In the daytime, too. In the daylight.
Broad daylight.
Broad daylight. Ugh. It's like, it's still creepy looking.
It's still very, they set it, instead of in the 50s, they set it in the 80s now. So it's kind of Stranger Things.
Yes. Yeah.
But I was okay with that.
Me too. I think it works. And then it'll be interesting how they then update the story, because then that means the chapter 2 will take place in current days.
Correct.
So how do they update the story with like a traditional, oh, you can't get a signal. You always have to, now with movies, you have to
establish write in, your timeline.
Yeah, and if it's a modern movie, you have to like deal with the cell phone.
Yep.
Why can't these problems be solved with the use of a cell phone? You know, it's and then when people do use their cell phones in a movie, it's like, ah, it feels lazy. They should have found a way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they just kind of throw that in. Oh, yeah, we have to make sure that people don't think this is in the 80s.
Right. It used to be scenes of people going to libraries and pulling books off shelves.
Yep.
Now it's scenes of people sitting at computers and going to Google or some fake search engine and typing in things, and then montage of looking up web pages.
Yeah, in the original, I mean, it took place, a lot of it took place in the library when they were adults, and they had the card catalog flying everywhere.
Yes, right, so what are they going to do now? I guess back to the library. I mean, I'm trying to look up old history. Yeah, still got, you need the microfiche. The kids even know what microfiche is, Drew?
No.
Do you know what microfiche is, Drew?
Yes.
Of course, he's not a kid. He's older than I am this game.
Number two this week.
Number two!
The Mountain Between Us.
Oh, yeah.
We can gross $10.1 million seems total.
I want to see this.
I do too.
Elba, Winslet, stuck in a mountain, trying to get off based on a book, which explains a terrible title. It's a terrible title.
It is a terrible title. You know? The poster is too.
Right? What's up with the marketing with this movie? Trailer's okay. But it's a good setup, though.
It is.
And I like the actors. What's the Rotten Tomato on
it, pretty though? Sure it's probably... that. It seems like the same company who tried to promote Labor Day.
Oh, you feel like it's a Labor Day? That's awesome adaptation, wasn't it? Jason Ritter's movie, Labor
except
Day?
Except it was just Kate Winslet and Josh Brolin.
And how about, did you ever see, what's Ocean? I'm just thinking of the title, an Ocean Between Us? The Ocean Between Us? The Light Between Oceans?
Oceans, mountains, whatever.
The Michael Fassbender, Alicia Vikander movie that they fell in love on.
What am I looking for again? I forgot what I'm looking
for. The Rotten Tomato consensus for the movie that we were
45%
between us. 45%. What's the average rating?
5.2.
Ooh, that's not good.
So what does it say? It's an okay movie.
The Mountain Between Us may be too far fetched for some viewers to appreciate.
Far fetched,
but it's elevated by reliability, engaging performances from Idris Elba and Kate Winslet.
Far fetched is a survival movie. What can be so far fetched about it? Do they eat the dog or do they not eat the dog? That's why I want to know. Because there's a dog involved.
They eat the dog.
They eat the dog.
You got it.
Protein. You gotta.
You're up there. There's.
You got two options. You die or dog dies. Which one? How does that go, guys?
I'm sorry, but in like Vietnam, your food and they're not even stuck on a mountain.
Nope.
Yeah.
They're going to dog fest.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, I'm interested in seeing this movie, but I'm more. interested.
I'm sorry, that was recorded there. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Da-da.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm more interested in the behind the scenes of how they accomplished the shots on the mountain in the snow.
Yeah.
How the camera did working.
Exactly. Like, how did they shoot the movie Everest? They actually, did a lot of mountain shooting. They sent helicopters to Everest to get shots of Everest to superimpose them there. Yeah. How did they do even something like...
Probably a lot like that.
The Hateful Eight.
Where you see Quentin Tarantino? They probably did it a lot like that.
More recently, The Revenants, famously hard shoot, them shooting in the wilderness, the work they had to do just to get the crew there, the cameras, and set everything up so then they can actually act and play act.
Camouflage.
There we go. That is disappointing. All right, here we go. What's going on with the... Oh, I see. It's the music just dropped. I'm being distracted by the music. So finally we can get to number one. I just been wanting to get to number one.
Everyone move this week. Blade Runner 2049.
All right, you got to see Blade Runner 2049. Jen, you got to go.
Weekend gross, $31.5 million.
$31.5. They were hoping upper end 50 for an opening weekend, expecting 40. So 30, box office-wise, is a bit of a bummer.
Well, it's coming off of a rough week, too.
There's
a lot of stuff happening.
It's been a brutal week. It's been a brutal year, though.
It really has.
It seems like every week has been, every other week has been a particularly bad week. This was a really bad one. Yeah, so that does not help at all, obviously. And actually, we talked about this on the spoiler bonus. On this, we did already a spoiler episode where we talked about this movie, all the deets, all the spoilers. So this is going to be our spoiler-free talk. But we mentioned how part of the movie is set in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And it's like a new Vegas, right? But then it's a Vegas where there was
a dirty bomb.
A dirty bomb went off. So that's why it's deserted. And you see it in the trailer. It's a deserted city. And they were going to have their red carpet premiere in Vegas. Mm. And they canceled because of all the shooting that went down and all that stuff.
Yeah, the Punisher was put off too.
Right, they was it supposed to be released already, or did they just...
It was supposed to be released already. It was supposed to have the red carpet and all that.
All that stuff, right?
Yeah, and they postponed due to just everything.
It was crazy. But then it's...
Because some guy tried to be the Punisher. Because
some guy did some punishing. But then it's America, though. So when do you release the Punisher? Between shootings. You got to hope another shooting doesn't happen soon, or else you'll be waiting a long time to release this series about a guy that wants to gun down people.
Right.
So it's... The Punisher has an ethos, though. But what kind of ethos is it? Just because he determines his own...
Because he said you're a bad guy.
Yeah, he says so. That means... That's mental illness right there. Isn't that what that is?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's not good. And he's our hero. We're cheering this guy on now.
Yes, we are.
Makes you really question some of the things we consume as a culture sometimes.
Well, I mean, we're cheering on Daredevil, who just beats the piss out of people because he likes to.
He beats them. Doesn't kill. Makes it a point not to kill. Which the Punisher calls a half measure.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh.
Which then brings up that whole debate.
Yeah.
I am team Magneto over here, so...
Okay.
I
mean, Hashtag Frank Castle's right.
Frank Castle's right? Hashtag...
Hashtag kill them all.
If you think the Punisher is a worthy hero to follow, hashtag Castlemania. But if you don't think... The Punisher is a worthy hero to follow. Hit us on Twitter with hashtag not my castle.
Not my castle.
Not my castle.
Awful. Yeah. Absolutely awful.
Not
Chris.
As good as Castlemania. I like awful, Castlemania Chris. Is a better hashtag. So Blade Runner 2049, a movie, a 35-year sequel on a commercial and critical failure. Mm-hmm. Blade Runner yields a movie that is a critical success.
Yeah.
And it has, I believe, an A- cinema score. We've talked about cinema score in the past recently on the show in terms of Mother, which got an F cinema score, the infamous F. Mm-hmm. Did you see Mother?
I did not. Ooh. It's not a movie that I would see.
Okay, fair
although
enough.
I'm curious. I probably would catch it on Netflix.
In terms of like art and being a movie lover, it's something you should definitely dive into when you get the chance. But it's an interesting film. Very interesting movie. It is not what the trailers sell it as.
No! Hmm. No, it is not.
It is not what is being sold, which is part of what resulted in that F score.
The whole, from the trailer, the thing that I was like, I don't know about that. Mm. Javier Bardem and Jennifer Lawrence?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're a couple.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But then when you think about it, though, I believe Bardem and Aronofsky are the same age.
About, and
J-Law and Dar? That
sounds awful.
D-A-Ron, Daron. J-Law and Daron?
That sounds even awful.
Man, Aronofsky, you need a better... The Lawrence? The Lawrence? Name. Yeah, what kind of couple name can they have?
They don't.
They could be Jadem.
Errol, what? Oh. Jadem? Shout out to Jadem. Boom, clap, bananas.
Rob, stop!
Come on, Drew, have some fun.
Nope.
Come on, buddy.
All business.
We're having a good time, dude. He's gonna chew.
Drew's all business. Look at that face.
All business. Gonna chew his fingernails right into the microphone. Making sure people can hear it. Yeah, right. Critical success. Commercial, not a failure. Not a bomb. I was having a bit of a thing on, because Drew, what's his name? Matt, Cabin Boy, SBK Live, hit me up on Twitter last night.
SBK,
great show. Love Matt. But he was like, oh, I read on Forbes by this guy. I've never liked this guy, Scott Mendelson. He's a terrible film writer, which is why he writes about movies on Forbes, because he's a terrible film writer. And Forbes. Yeah, because that's where I go for movie stuff, Forbes magazine. He put out this article about how a $30 million opening weekend for Blade Runner is a disaster, because it has a budget of like $150, $155, and a $30 million opening dollar weekend is a disaster. And Kevin was like, does this make it bomb of the year? Because Kevin, when he thinks in those terms, I'm like, no, it's not bomb of the year. I mean, it's not great, but international, it could make some money back. Blade Runner has cachet. Harrison Ford's an international star. I'm very interested in seeing what kind of...
50 million foreign opening weekend.
It's interesting, and I wonder what markets that is. It's not a summer movie, so and for a summer movie, they just release them everywhere all around the world at the same time. Movies like this, it has a tiered opening, so it's going to take a month or so to see if it even does make money overseas, if that's even possible. If their audience... I'm very interested in seeing that. But it's not Abomineer. Abomineer is like King Arthur. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
That cost like $170 million to make, and it grossed the total of 70 U.S., so Blade Runner's already almost halfway there after just an opening weekend. The Emoji Movie only made like $80 million. That budget wasn't too bad. There was another one. Another big budget one. I was like, oh, that is not good. And I forgot. Valerian cost $160, $170 to make.
Was it The Mummy?
The Mummy didn't do too hot either, but Tom Cruise helps push that.
Yeah.
And The Mummy, it makes its money international, for sure. Mm-hmm. So it more than breaks even. But we will talk about the overall lack of success with The Mummy in the second half of the show. Check out that teaser for the movie news segment.
I'm interested.
But so Blade Runner, Bomb of the Year, no, not a great opening weekend though. They want to get something closer to 50 and then hoping for an international, a domestic total of over 100. Opening at 30, they'll be lucky if it gets to like 75. But good word of mouth might get it there, especially if the movie's good. And Drew and I both agree.
Which it is.
The movie is good.
It's fucking fantastic.
Okay. We both enjoy it quite a bit. And if you like movies...
Oh, yeah.
See it in the theater.
I mean, it is.
See it.
It is. I mean, it's Blade Runner 2049. So it is Blade Runner plus being influenced by everything that Blade Runner itself influenced.
Yeah, that's true. As you're watching a movie, you're seeing and hearing things that other movies' influences are then cycling back around into this. Yeah,
no.
I was noticing that as I was watching, for sure.
I don't want to give anything away, but yeah, there are some very specific films that have come out recently where like it's like, oh, yeah, they totally went there, didn't they?
Yeah, which is fun.
No.
It's very fun, very cool, and it's a cool thing about art when you get a different artist to jump into something and then they take their own influences and more recent things and they cycle it all through that filter, and it is a very interesting update of Blade Runner. I find it very satisfying. Visually satisfying, and the story itself just like works.
Great ending. And it's nowhere near as confusing as the original Blade Runner. The original Blade Runner is very open-ended.
It's a little obtuse.
You're allowed to have questions. And in all reality, the movie really doesn't explain much about anything.
No, I found watching that movie, every time I watch the original Blade Runner, I take away a little more from it. And it comes more into focus every time I see it. But it does take those kind of repeat viewings. Whereas I do feel Blade Runner 2049, you can watch
it's very much more straightforward.
You can leave...
Very palatable.
Being satisfied having watched it once, but still wanting to go back. Whereas Blade Runner, you'd be like, I need to rewatch something.
But at the same...
I may have missed something.
I mean, and as clear cut as it was still... There was still the twists that fucking get you.
Mm-hmm. There's still a central mystery to it. There's still... things being revealed and resolved and more questions coming up, and it's very much in the spirit of the original, but it's still also, I think this is important, it's not a fake Ridley Scott movie.
No.
It's
this is the Denis Villeneuve movie, all the way.
If you've seen Sicario, Arrival, especially Arrival, right, with especially. The little, with those weird, those things that are flying around, Arrival, Prisoners, right? If you know his style, the way his camera moves, his music, his score, the way he builds atmosphere and mood, Villeneuve is... Now we have enough movies to like say definitively, he has like a real mastery of ambiance.
Yes.
Of tone, of atmosphere. He has perfected the sense of dread.
Oh, yeah. There's just this gloom across everything. And it's just like, where's the... Oh, there's that little gray cloud. Hey, how's it going, Denis?
Yeah, exactly. He can take a sunny day
and make it...
And with the right camera moves and music, he'll just be like, foreboding.
Where would he get that inspiration nowadays?
That, right? Where is he pulling from in this sunny and shiny, wonderful world that we live in, right? What is he feeling on a day-to-day basis? That's why in a few interviews I've seen him in, he actually seems like a very, very nice fellow. And from what I've heard, seems to be a very nice guy. Everyone likes him. The Blade Runner shoot went very well. You know, everyone got along great, as opposed to the original.
Harrison Ford wasn't grumbling.
No, he was. He enjoyed it very much. Harrison Ford has, he's turned some sort of corner in the last 4 or 5 years with Star Wars and this. He's like
much more... He seems to be at peace with it.
Yes. He's more affable, more right. open to talking about things than joking around.
Goofy, yeah. The interviews are awesome with him and Ryan Gosling.
They've been having fun together. Yeah.
He probably finally started smoking weed on set.
On set?
On set. He's just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to be high.
No, he was always high. He was high from the beginning. Greg Proops told a story. This is a secondhand story, so that's why I get to give credit to where credit due. Greg Proops, a comedian, was working on, when he was working on Episode 1, Star Wars, to do voiceover stuff for the announcers, the pod race announcers. Mm-hmm. He's one of the guys who's like, bah, 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 bah. He's like that guy, right? His driver for that, because he was over there in London shooting it, his driver was one of the original drivers from the Star Wars days, the original days.
Oh, wow.
And he drove around Harrison Ford. So he said Harrison Ford, on his way to set every day, would smoke a big fat joint every day in the back of the car. And that's how he started his days on Star Wars. So even when he was grumpy back then, he was high as a kite. He said one time Ford didn't have papers. This is alleged, obviously. Third-hand alleged. Ford didn't have papers. So he had thrown his weed into a pot on a stovetop and cooked it. With the top on, with the lid. Mm-hmm. And then he went out to the car. When the car showed up, the driver showed up, he went out to the car and sat in the back seat with the pot and with the lid. And then he would huff the weed smoke out of the pot from the actual pot that were in which he cooked his pot.
That's not the way it works.
It worked for him. You got it hot enough.
You can't hold smoke like that for that long. It's not the way it works. Smoke is only smoke when it's burning and it's in the air.
It's a third hand alleged story from the late 70s. But that just goes to show how much of a legendary marijuana user Harrison Ford has been for decades. Mm-hmm. That story would be out there flown around about him. That he went through extensive means to make sure he got his fix. Mm. So
well, I want to see it. I saw it in 4DX. I definitely want to see in 4DX.
If you see this in 4DX, those theaters where they give you the 4D theater style, like, sensory surround thing, mm-hmm. Bring a poncho or an umbrella or
so
something.
So much rain.
So much rain in this movie. You will walk out of there, like, soaked. And it's long. There's a sequence that takes place in just water. Yeah. What are you going to do? Film the theater? Like, the water's up to your nose. Like, oh my god, this is so thrilling.
I feel like I'm there.
Holding your phone above the water. No! I just got the iPhone X.
I had asked you before, I was curious of how the cinematography in the original versus this one.
It's beautiful. It's so gorgeous. I mean, people are already online being like, Roger Deakins needs to win.
Well, he's best, awesome.
He's awesome, and he's the Susan Lucci of cinematographers.
Yes.
Nominated 20,000 times. He's mm-hmm. 1-0. And for people for whom awards matter, that's a travesty. And awards don't matter. Roger Deakins knows that, which is why whenever someone brings it up, he's like, I don't care.
Yeah, whatever.
He's constantly like, I don't
care.
He's
like, seriously, do you see my fucking work? You think I need an award?
Yeah, look at my work. Look at my shit? Work. Stanley Kubrick never... You know what Stanley Kubrick won? He's won Razzies. Hailed as like the greatest filmmaker of all time, smartest filmmaker of all time. Never won any sort of Oscars. He's won Razzies for Barry Lyndon of all goddamn movies. Yeah. So that shows you what awards mean. And but people are saying it's so good. If he doesn't win for this, like, we're just gonna burn the world down. We're gonna drag our gas can out to the middle of the stadium and just burn it all down. And as much as anything is worth an award, the work he does here is incredible. And it's like really almost next level stuff in terms of, because he's presented with gigantic sets. That's another thing people need to watch. To harken back to the original Blade Runner, huge, elaborate sets, and they're being lit everywhere.
And most of the time,
the action is like, it just happened.
I was about to say, most of the time it pans out, like, especially in this movie, like, you'll get a wide shot first, and Ryan Gosling's like an inch tall.
Yeah, so you have to search the screen looking for, like,
where is he? Oh, there he is, and then it finally zooms in.
And it zooms in, exactly. Or when many shots of the spinner cars flying through a cityscape. And then it's just like gigantic, sprawling Mega City 1 style cities. And even the way you light that, even as any sort of CG shots like that, a cinematographer still has to have his input into this is how this has to look so it fits in line with everything else we do. It's magnificent to look at. So even if one watches this movie and isn't into the story, you could still watch it and just be like, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
The aesthetics of this is fantastic. But I do think that the story is worthy of all that design and production work and that lighting. And it's worthy of the art that goes into it. Yeah, a lot of 150 million, 155 million. You see it.
Yeah.
You see that. You see all of that money on the screen.
Because exposing for film is a lot different than exposing for digital. And then everything is often done in post now.
Yes, exactly. And was this on digital or was this on film? Because it's... Just thinking of the big shots that they do, digital is hard to get huge shots. And it's almost exclusively gigantic shots. Setting up scenes, huge wides and masters. Just that shot where they're walking. You see in the trailer, they're walking down the stairs. And all the bodies are like in the cases, and Gosling's looking at them. You remember? You know what I'm talking about? And it's just the detail. You don't see that digital grain, and it's so rare for filmmakers to work in digital. You're talking about like your David Finchers, your the Spielberg even shooting. I think he still does film. It's so rare to find someone that shoots on digital and really makes it flawlessly look like a movie. And the only times things are that are blown are when like. Actually introducing fire into a scene or like a cigarette. Someone smokes a cigarette and then the tip glows white hot when they're smoking. Like, oh, this is that's digital. That camera is working hard to capture that light. As opposed to film, you smoke a cigarette, it just has that soft orange glow. Cigarettes are a good way actually to tell. People should smoke more cigarettes in movies so we can tell what's digital, what's film.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with health reasons and everything to do with just my desire to know what I'm looking at. So people should see Blade Runner, right, Jer?
Of course.
I think we all agree on that. Yeah. See Blade Runner, Jen.
I will.
All right.
I will.
That's my oh shit drop. When you make a declaration, you're going to get the oh shit drop. New movies on DVD, Baby Driver.
Sweet.
Got to see it, Jen.
I want to see it.
It's so good. It's so good.
I'm queuing it right now.
It is fun. So much fun. Check it out. The House. Which I wanted to see, but it didn't get good reviews.
I never wanted to see it.
Drew never even wanted to see it. You never even wanted to see it?
Nope.
Why?
It just doesn't interest me.
It just the premise didn't interest you? Are you a Will Ferrell fan?
Not really.
That's why. All right, that's why I'm getting it. You're not a Will Ferrell fan. I am a Will Ferrell fan. Do you consider yourself a Will Ferrell fan, Drew?
No.
No, a definitive no. I do.
No.
So I was interested, but then the reviews weren't hot. Mm. And I will be like, if the reviews aren't good, then I'm not going to watch it. But does that Jason Mantzoukas? I like Mantzoukas. You like Mantzoukas?
Yeah,
I do. You like Mantzoukas? Mm-hmm. You like Amy Poehler?
In doses.
In doses. Interesting. Drew.
Indifferent.
Indifferent. Ah. Mm. Two different yet in the ballpark answers when it comes to Amy Poehler. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of all three. I thought it was a fun premise. But when it comes to comedy, if most people are like, it's not that funny, then I mean, come on, man. It's probably not that funny. It's definitely, I'll watch it on home video, which is available now. Wish Upon, horror film about the box. Wish Box. My brother called it Wish Box.
Yeah, Wish Box.
He's like, you see that movie Wish Box? I was like, Wish Box?
Oh,
you mean Wish Upon? It's a classic monkey's claw, careful what you wish for type of story. But I think if you watch the trailer, you get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
What's come out in theaters, Drew?
Marshall. Movie about a young Thurgood Marshall played by Chadwick Boseman.
Chadwick Boseman is Thurgood. That's fun. Thurgood Marshall. Oh, that's cool. First black Supreme Court justice?
Yeah, man.
Supreme Court justice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Okay. I know history a little bit.
Also...
As long as I make a movie about it, I know history.
Happy Death Day.
Happy Death Day. Looks fun. The horror film version of Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen the trailer for this?
I have,
It
actually.
Looks fun, right?
I would probably go see that, even though it'd scare the pants off me.
That's a thing. They're making good horror movies. They're just making them better,
I don't think it's going to scare the pants. I think I'm going to laugh at this movie more than anything else.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Possible.
More than likely. I could see that, too.
No.
The goofy fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
It looks fun.
It does.
Yeah,
we're probably and last but certainly not least, a movie that I've been looking forward to since I saw the trailer, The Foreigner.
Jackie Chan
is fucking serious.
He saw Liam Neeson, Keanu Reeves, Who else? Who other old men? Tom Cruise is still, he's still the fine age. He's getting there.
Jackie Chan's like, I am not funny anymore. I'm a pissed off old man. And I'm going to kill you.
He's like, I should be able to do these movies too. I can actually I can actually do this stuff.
Look, dude, it looks so fucking cold.
Denzel Washington, that's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
Equalizer. Uh-huh. He's totally the equalizer, but he's the Chinese equalizer.
Exactly.
The equalizer. You know it. I went racist. Yep. I did it. I'm allowed to. I'm Puerto Rican. We're allowed to be racist. No, we're not. No one's allowed to be racist. Stop it, guys. Don't be racist. Don't do that, guys. The Chinese equalizer is what it is. It's like, my daughter died. I want information. Pierce Brosnan's like, no. And he's like, well, then I'm gonna
everything down around you.
Well, then I'm gonna bring the pain.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan style. Yes. Which means I'm like, stuff like that. But with no jokes, though.
Yeah. Not gonna be joking.
No jokery, which is fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks fun.
I mean, it's rated R, for Christ's sake.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So it's gonna be super violent.
So is the
equalizer. So not based on the play, then.
The play, no. Nor is it based on the Steven Seagal direct-to-video movie of the same name.
Thank God for
where that. He plays CIA agent John Cole. Ex-CIA agent. No. Ex-FBI. No. Ex-cop. No. All of those. Ex-Navy SEAL CIA ex-cop John Cole is the foreigner. But he's from America.
He's a trained martial artist.
I'm gonna get a sandwich. I used to love Seagal so much, and he makes it hard to love him. I can't love him anymore.
Not after that clip, that with the
whole most recent thing.
Yeah,
the disgusting and.
Oh, shut up, Steven.
God damn it! He's living in Moscow now. What a loser.
Have fun with that.
I got Seagology over there. I've read that thing so many times.
Might as well just burn it.
No, I got notes. I've highlighted stuff.
Chris, hashtag no more heroes. Burn it.
No, he's not a hero. He's not a hero.
Do it.
But I'm not going to abandon Seagology. It's now part of Seagology.
Burn it.
The fall of the open-minded man has to be an addendum to Seagology. Because his early works are all about being open-minded.
You should contact Vern.
I should contact the writer and be like, how about an addendum that examines the fall of the open-minded person? Because the one movie he directed features a scene where he fights a guy. The guy steps on him. It's Mike Starr. Great character actor, Mike Starr. Dumb and Dumber. The one who they give the hot food to, and then he has the heart problem, and he dies. A big dude. Yeah. He's been in a ton of stuff. He was in Black Dynamite.
Yes, he was.
So he's in this movie.
Love Black Dynamite
is so good. Yeah. So Mike Starr plays a bar patron in the movie On Deadly Ground. The only movie directed by Steven Seagal. And he's messing with a drunk indigenous dude. Who they get this guy? He's an alcoholic, so he's always begging for money so he can drink. He's messing with him. Steven Seagal is watching this. He's like, I gotta stop this. So he goes and he puts an end to it. And then he's like, oh, you're a tough guy. So he goes through this whole thing. They have the hand slapping competition where you put your hands together and they gotta get the other guy's hand. Yeah. He's like, if you can get my hand, whoever gets the other guy's hand gets to hit the other person. So he hits him a couple times. And then Mike Starr's like, oh, I'm in pain. He's like, what does it take? What does it take to change the essence of a man? And the guy's like, time. I need time. And it's like, that's what we all need. And it's like, they have a nice moment. And instead of fighting it out, he does hit him.
Does he punch him in the kidney and make him start spitting blood?
He hits him in the sternum a couple times and he vomits. But then he's asking, like, what does it take to change the essence of a man? And they come together, and it's very much about being better people. And then he's like sticking up for the downtrodden. Mm-hmm. No. And then in that movie, he only advances to the next level of domestic terrorism when he meets indigenous people and they tell him it's not about revenge. He's like, you're right. Now I'm going to go blow up this oil plant. And then he commits domestic terrorism.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting look into the mind of Steven Seagal at that time, in the mid-90s.
When he was skinny.
Now, he was
skinnier. Well, compared to now, he was skinny.
Compared to now, yeah.
The hairline kept going back.
Yes, he still had a decent hairline at that time. Yeah. Now he's got the Bela Lugosi widow's peak thing going. It's weird. So what happened to Seagal? Why the fall of the open-minded man to this thing where he's like...
Cash.
These people who kneel are discussing. You think it's just straight up cash?
Straight up money.
Oh, God. Why money? Why money, capitalism? Money. Capitalism is what did it. Capitalism is the religion, right?
Chris, the love of money is the root of all evil.
The love of money is the root. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah,
it's like, who's calling him nowadays, especially after that interview? It's a cash grab.
It is cash. Yeah. It's all about the money. Then you throw into that they had the sexual allegations a few years ago too. Like, now you're doubling down on the grossness.
Creepy.
Why couldn't he have just been the fat guy that we all laughed at and watch Out for Justice and have fun?
Yeah.
I can still watch Out for Justice. But still, it's like,
and the Glimmer Man.
I feel just dirty now.
The Glimmer Man.
They never explain. So all you see is a glimmer.
All you see is a glimmer, but then you're dead. So how can you explain that you see the glimmer? Brian Cox. How do you explain it, Brian Cox? What are you doing in this movie? Oh, money. That's right, money.
Yes.
The Foreigner. Looking forward to it. All right, here we go, guys. Time for Drew, you know.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right. The doctor is in with your prescription for life. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris.
Yes.
Blade Runner only made $30 million this weekend. Correct. Which means some of you fuckers are slacking and you haven't seen the movie. So get off your ass, go see Blade Runner 2049, and then maybe next week we will have a new Dr. Drew 2 Cents. Doctor's out.
No.
Yes, sir.
He wants y'all to see Blade Runner 2049. Go see it. And then we'll get a different 2 Cents?
I will.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
A little bit of call to action is all they need sometimes.
Let's stick with the Blade Runner. Let's take a quick break doing the score this time. You know, I find this interesting. They originally hired Johan Johansson, who is a young composer. I think it's maybe late 20s, early 30s. He did the Creed score. Fantastic job of like making a movie that's in the style of the soundtracks before it. Yeah. Come up with new themes, but using an old one. I think he did a great job. So it was a great choice for the Blade Runner soundtrack. But then at some point he got dropped, parted ways. It didn't work out. Also, one interesting that they never even went to Vangelis, who did the original score. He's still alive. He's in his 70s, but he's still alive. He's still working too.
And you can, but yeah, you can. You can still hear bits and pieces of his...
That's a thing. That's a thing. Okay.
Throughout the whole thing.
So they end up with Hans Zimmer. No slouch. No. All right? That's part of where that $150 million is going to Hans Zimmer. He worked with a guy, Benjamin Wolfisich, who I believe is known for more electronic stuff. They worked together to do this. The two tracks, I pulled two tracks from the Blade Runner 2049 soundtrack. One of them is the one I'll do first is the Tears in the Rain.
Yes.
Very seminal track, happens in an important moment in the first movie. They redid it, re-recorded it for this new one, but really didn't change it that much. No. It's just maybe a little bassier.
No, maybe. Just so the seats will shake a little more in theaters.
Your seats will shake a little more. And then another random track from there. It's kind of mellow. I pulled some of the more mellow stuff. If you listen to the Blade Runner soundtrack, there's some tracks where it's like, boom, boom, the Hans Zimmer bombastic craziness of it. So here you go. Listen to these two Blade Runner songs. We're going to be back with the second half. Got a lot to talk about. Got some Vox Populi, et cetera, some movie news. Drew, you ready?
I am.
Jen, you good?
Totally.
All right, here we go.
Hello, Cinema Crespediso listeners. This is Chris from BYOCB, the podcast where we drink, we laugh, we drink, inviting you to join myself and my co-host Alex as we take you out of a studio environment and into different environments that revolve around enjoying a few adult beverages with your friends. Check out our stuff at BYOCBShow.com or give us a follow on Twitter at BYOCBShow.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
Here we go. Welcome to the Crespo Dome, indeed. The Crespo Doomy. Welcome, Drew Sacogra and Drew.
Chris.
Jen.
Hey.
Yes, we are here. Oh, up.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I just want to hit that. Just one time. Just one time.
I hate your drops.
You're going to love them one day.
No,
you're gonna love him one day.
Taking a stand. Stand taken. Oh. No, never love him.
R.I.P.
Oh, that's the same one. Nope. Drew. Yeah, Drew. Yeah. Come on. Ha! Video game.
You're the worst.
Yeah.
You are the absolute worst.
Come on, Drew.
Wait, were you just hacked by Russians?
I was, probably. Was. Yes. They hacked my vote. They just changed my Hillary vote. Into one that's more appealing to them, those sons of bitches. How dare any of those Russians. Shout out to our Russian listeners. I don't think we have any Russian listeners.
No.
I don't think we have a single one.
Hi, Russia.
We do have listeners in Japan. What's up? Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Shout out to Japan, as well as Germany, Amsterdam. Where else are we blowing up? We've had listeners in Canada for a while now. Poutine to you. Poutine to you as well. Yeah.
Poutine.
It's a Canadian traditional Canadian greeting, right?
Correct.
Yes.
It's like aloha.
It's like aloha.
Mm-hmm.
It's for hello and goodbye.
Yes.
Poutine. You wave. Oh, I gotta go. Poutine.
Uh-huh.
Poutine. You gotta say it with a French lilt. Is it only French Canada?
French Canadian.
Correct. Thank you for correcting me. Drew, we're gonna be finding you on the interwebs with the plugs
at antihero419, all over those interwebs.
All over the internets. Do it, people. Jen, where can people find you online?
You can find me at Jen Vargas on all of the interwebs. You can also find me on at Inzion Film Slam.
Yes.
You can also find me at Central Florida Top 5, number 5.
Central Florida Top 5, what's the website?
Central Florida Top 5, number5.com.
All right, and what's up with the film slant? Any news, any updates on that?
Well, it's going to be an interesting month this month.
Yeah.
Next Sunday is our next and last film slam of 2016.
Nice. 2017.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
There you go. Steven Seagal took me in. There you go.
Time warp. On the 15th of October, we will have our first ever Mega Slam.
Whoa!
Mega Slam.
Wait, do that one more time. Do it one more time. Mega Slam. There we go. All right. I should have had that queued up. There we go.
Mega Slam. Well, Hurricane Irma took us out in September because we were supposed to happen on the day.
On the day Irma?
Of the hurricane.
Oh, man, stupid Irma.
So
screwing everything up.
Right? So the nice folks at Enzion allowed us to postpone instead of full out cancel.
Okay.
So we are having a full, like, two programs in one day.
Oh, wow. Oh,
so
awesome.
We're having September's program, which I've already announced, and October's program, which I will announce today. So okay. We'll, instead of the 1 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
we're going to start at 11
okay.
to allow for the September program. We'll mm-hmm. still have a short Q&A after. Start the second program for October, which is going to be all horror films.
Ooh.
Well, it's a bit more in the comedy, but there are some sick and disgusting.
Well, it's good for October. Yeah, it's seasonal. Yeah, that's great.
Oh yeah, I've done some themes since I've took over.
Yeah.
So we do like we did an Orlando United theme in June.
Oh, that's cool.
Very which good. Was very cool. All yeah. LGBTQ local films.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
oh,
and then really May cool. has been Fem Slam,
yeah.
that I affectionately call all mm-hmm. female filmmakers on the stage. You don't see that very often.
No, you don't. That is awesome. You have to go on. Unfortunately, out of your way to make stuff like that work and happen, and because that's just the way it's been. The patriarchy has ruined it. You gotta fix that shit. That's so cool. So if people go to enzion.org, is that the easiest place? Or
if you go to facebook.com/filmslam,
okay,
that's where the latest updates are. They're going through some changes with their website.
Okay,
so the most current information is on our Facebook page.
On the Facebook page, Filmslam. All right, there yeah. you go. Very good.
Yeah,
excellent. Thank you very much. People, tweet the show at Chris Moody. So follow us on Facebook, Cinema Crespo. So join the Facebook group, Cinema Crespo. So it's a lot of fun. Also join the PFT Media group and stay up to date on all the shows coming out via PFT Media. Our very own Drewster Cogburn made his triumphant return to the Simon Time Trivia Show.
That's right, yeah.
Episode 10. Listen to that. It was a great show. Great time. Drewster Cogburn was there.
Woo!
And check out everything else on PFT Media at pftmedia.com. Shows like Scotch A Good Conversation, Poking the Bear, What's the Fuss, etc., etc. They're all great. You know what to do. Guys, let us start with... What do you want to start with, Drew?
It's up to you, man.
It's up to me!
You tell me.
How about let the board tell us?
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating
getaway.
The holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right. The movie news segment, so says the board, is what's happening now. We gotta talk about them celebrity divorces. Oh man, Ben Affleck's been out there with his new girlfriend. They've been hitting the red carpets and whatnot. What does Jennifer Garner think? We'll find out later. But first of all, we need a Justin Bieber update. Jen, what's going on with the Biebs?
What isn't going on with the Biebs? He's got this intellectual look now, like all...
Does he really? Yeah.
All kind of Jesus-y and stuff?
He is getting Jesus-y. He... took his new girlfriend to church.
Oh.
And apparently he was wearing
pastor.
A very large hat.
Whoa.
Oh my gosh. Is he becoming a Mountie?
That's a Mountie hat.
I just Googled Justin Bieber. This was the first story that came up. Justin Bieber wears a giant hat.
That Justin Bieber, yeah. Scroll down for video of him wearing a hat.
Oh my gosh.
He's wearing a hat.
Shocked to be have his photo taken.
He's wearing a hat, guys. Watch out.
Last I saw, he took his new girlfriend to church and took her to meet his pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a really creepy dude.
And then surely afterwards, yes. Then he got to know her.
I mean, I'm sure he already knows Mr. Bieber very well.
They probably all know each other very well, yeah. Wait, what are we talking about?
Lots of begetting going on, Chris.
So, yeah. Harvey Weinstein, famous producer, the Weinstein Company, first started Miramax with his brother Bob Weinstein in the 90s. Longtime producers of Tarantino films, amongst others. Weinstein, known for being ruthless businessman, but still having some pretty good taste when it comes to movies. Funding, getting some money behind controversial filmmakers, etc., etc. He's got a very complicated artistic history, known as Harvey Scissorhands for his propensity to take movies from filmmakers, buy movies, take them from their filmmakers, re-edit them, and then release them for American audiences. Usually shorter, to the point, he's a cut-to-the-chase kind of guy. That's how you end up with The Protector, Drew, as opposed to Tom Young Goon.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a Weinstein-Scissorhands joint. Yeah. Harvey Weinstein, known as Harvey Scissorhands, can also be now known as Harvey Molesterhands, because he's a gross, creepy old weirdo in a town full of gross, creepy old weirdos, a.k.a. Hollywood. And has apparently,
among other things,
he gets them to come up to his hotel rooms and ask for massages, and he often tries to get them to return sexual favors and whatever for positions and in movies and whatnot, and for work, I guess you can say. Mm-hmm. And it sucks. It's gross. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And apparently, it's one of these things where it's now people are like, oh yeah, it's been an open secret for years. Everyone's known about this. You know,
that's not an open secret you should keep.
It's not what you're... That's the problem. Enough of this. That's the same thing that happened with Harry Knowles in the Austin film community over there at Ain't It Cool. Apparently he was a known creep. And everyone's like, oh yeah, we've known about this. We've just told girls to try to stay away. Like, that's not what you do. That's the Joe Paterno thing. Turn your head. Pretend it's not happening. Then meanwhile, you got crazy molesterings going on, right?
Ew.
It's not cool. This story keeps making turns, though. It's a crazy story.
Oh, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
It is going to get worse. It's a crazy story. So first off, Harvey Weinstein immediately put out a statement saying, oh yeah, we deny everything right away. But also, he lawyered up like crazy.
Yeah.
People saw him hiring lawyers like the day before his story broke. Like, oh man, is something about to drop? Sure enough, this drops. As Mark Baratelli puts it, he got Cosby'd. Hired a bunch of lawyers. He's doing the whole I deny everything, but I'm also stepping down, or I'm stepping away from the Weinstein company, and I'm gonna seek help, rehab, blah blah blah. So he's like, I don't admit to wrongdoing, but I need to change myself. Like, what is this bullshit half-assed thing that people are doing now? It's so lame.
Yeah.
And
one of their board members also stepped down, right?
I had not heard about that.
I think so. I can't recall the guy's name, but because of that, he stepped down.
As of recent, I didn't read the article, but I saw the headline. His lead attorney, Lisa Bloom, resigned as the attorney, as the lead attorney.
Oh.
So for whatever reason, she stepped away.
Huh.
She's like, I don't want to deal with this shit.
The most recent thing, yeah. It's just
like, I wouldn't take it
for whatever reason. Yeah, exactly. Ooh. Most recent thing. The craziest thing about it, the whole Harvey Weinstein info dump to the media, that finally, that whatever caused all this to finally happen, orchestrated by Bob Weinstein, his brother.
Mm-hmm.
They have not gotten along for years. He's been trying to oust his brother in many ways so he can have sole control of the Weinstein company.
And he finally found a way to do it. And
what Bob, a reveal.
Right?
He was that personal. Crazy?
That's a movie. Yeah. That's a movie. Brother against brother. Cain and Abel. Bob Weinstein throws his own brother under the bus.
Start writing it, Chris.
Nah, I don't want anything to do with that terrible story of monsters. It's a world of monsters and we live in it, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
A real bummer, but that's the end. Oh, Harvey Molesterhands, and it's been it's a crazy story, I gotta say. So.
Disappointed, but not surprised.
Which is the refrain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a sad refrain that we all gotta make, that none of us are surprised by something like this, because that's the world that we live in.
Yep.
It's the Boys Club. Oh, shit. And it's,
what's that?
That's the, Juice the Dog, Rush the
Room. Juice the Dog, Rush the Room.
Welcome back to the movie news in a second. Got a couple of other interesting movie stories here, but first off, let's do that. Drewster Cogburn versus the world. This week's game, guys, in honor of the Blade Runners, the BR 2049. I want to see the other 2048 Blade Runners. 2047 Blade Runners.
No, that's the year, Chris, not the number.
No.
The ultimate binge.
This week's game is called To Be or Not To Be. I'm going to tell you the robot, either the model or the name of the robot. You tell me the movie. Mm. Drew, you are 18 and 12 after a nice long streak. You lost a very, very close competitive game last week to Steve Etchy. So that means Jen, you get to go first. We have two groups of five, A and B. Choose wisely. Which do you want first?
I'm going to go B.
B, okay. I'm going to tell you the robots. You tell me the movie or movie series.
Okay.
Number one, Replicants.
Blade Runner.
That's correct. Number two, Ed 209.
Oh, gosh. Pass.
Ooh, that is RoboCop.
Oh.
RoboCop. Number three, The Fembots.
Oh, Austin Powers.
That is correct. Number four, Gigolo Joe.
AI?
That is correct. Number five, Gort.
I should know this.
Gort. G-O-R-T. I did try making him go from easy to hard. Nope. That would be the day the earth stood still.
I should know that.
Three out of five. Good showing there. You ready, Drew?
Sure.
Here we go. Number one, the T-800.
Terminator.
That is correct. Number two, Jaegers.
Pacific Rim.
That is correct. Number three, Waste Allocation Load Lifter Earth Class.
Wally.
That is correct. Number four, Omnidroids.
I don't know.
That's The Incredibles. Mm. And number five, Dot Matrix. Dot Matrix.
I should know this, but I can't remember.
That is Spaceballs. Oh. That's Joan Rivers' character in Spaceballs, which means you also went 3 for 5. It is a tie, tiebreaker time.
Ooh.
Here we go. So we need Oh, you know what? Here it is. It's perfect. This right here. Stick this piece of paper, rip that in half. You take that. You take that.
Okay.
Here's a pen. Drew has a writing device over there.
Oh, my goodness.
And here is your tiebreaker question as per Box Office Mojo. This is for the month of October, right? Perfect tiebreaker for month of October. The six Paranormal Activity movies made how much money at the North American box office? We're doing closest to the pin. If you go over, that's fine. As per Box Office Mojo, the six Paranormal Activity movies made how much money? We are writing down our answers, and then Drew has his answer in. He is locked in. Jen has hers in. Fantastic. Here we go. Closest to the pin. How much have the six Paranormal Activity movies made in North American box office? Drew said $700 million. Jen said $750 million. Very close answers, guys. The answer is the total $401 million. Schuster Cogburn, you are the winner. Well done.
Man
so that was close.
That was good guessing.
One of your tiebreaker answers that close.
I gave way too much credit.
Me too. I thought they at least maybe the first two made like $200 million apiece.
Right, yeah.
And then after that, it probably went downhill, but.
Let me see. Make sure I write down the right. We are now 19.
Good game.
Good game, guys. We're now 19 on 12. Tiebreakers are fun. Tiebreakers are fun.
Yeah.
Good job, guys. All right, here we go. Back to the movie news. So Harvey Molester Hands is gross.
Ew.
Break up the boys' club that is the world. I was gonna relegate it to Hollywood, but come on.
Dude, our president said to grab him by the pussy.
He says, on the year anniversary of grabbing by the pussy, Donald Trump said, Harvey Weinstein's a nice guy. So, it's the world that we live in. I'm sorry, Jen. I'm sorry.
I just don't understand what female would allow that to happen, and even if it was a sneak attack, not punch the crap out of that guy.
Nice. Perceived power. Perceived consequences. It's the same thing. Why would you not want to push Donald Trump off? Because he's a billionaire as per reality TV. And he has powerful friends. Why wouldn't you tell Harvey Weinstein to go fuck himself? Because he, at least in the 90s,
that's true,
had power.
He wielded a lot of power.
And some people have come online, actually, some women have come online today and said, not today, but like in 2017, like, listen, Harvey Weinstein doesn't have as much sway in this town as he used to. I'm so afraid to come out and say some things against him because of the consequences of it. Even though it's really shitty. It sucks that the accusers, the victims, are the ones that are questioned more than the other perpetrators.
And they have to live in that for so many years. Yeah. Like Cosby's crap.
Yes, exactly.
Just,
it's a brutal reality that we live in. But fortunately, we have movies to take us away from that, and we can enjoy the beefs of celebrities. Yes. Fast and the Furious 8 had some problems on set between Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel. Apparently, they had a, if you watch the movie, actually, they're never even in a scene together. So it kind of leads some credence to the fact that they stopped getting along on the making of that movie.
It's too much in the frame. Too much beef.
Too much testosterone. Literally too much beef in the frame when you have Vin Diesel and The Rock in the same shot. Now Dwayne Johnson apparently ruffling other feathers. Tyrese Gibson himself.
Oh, come on.
Put out a crazy Instagram post. Get this, guys. This is funny. So first off, Fast and Furious 9 got pushed from 2019 to 2020. It got pushed back 1 year. A day or two after that got announced, the official announcement of the Rock spinoff movie, the Hobbs movie, his character from those, he's getting his own. They've been talking about this for years, but now it's finally official. It's happening in 2019, the Hobbs movie with him and Jason Statham, probably. Mm. And maybe even Charlize Theron as well, they've been talking about. Tyrese Gibson goes online and he puts this on his Instagram. Congratulations to @TheRock. He made sure to add him. So this ain't no subtweet. Mm-hmm. He's going right at him. And your brother-in-law, a.k.a. 7 Bucks, producing partner, and then he adds that guy, for making the Fast and the Furious franchise about you. And like you, Dwayne Johnson, even if they call, I will not be deleting this post. Good night, folks. See you in 2020, April Fast Family. Right now, it's about Team Dwayne. 3 years will be worth the wait. No Shaw, just Hobbs. Will this be another Baywatch? Guys, just relax. I'm just a passionate film critic. Gibson put all that on Instagram.
Making use of those 280 characters.
Oh, it's Instagram. You got no limit. No limit on that one. Yeah.
No limit soldier.
And he also mentioned something about how he's not replying to his tweets or something. Where is this?
I'm insta mad at you.
If you move forward with that Hobbs movie, you have purposefully ignored the heart-to-heart moment we had in my Sprinter, Gibson wrote in September. I don't want to hear from you until you remember what we talked about. I'm on your timeline because you're not responding to my text messages. #FastFamily is just that, a family. We don't fly solo. Gibson then went on to claim that he and Ludacris turned down a solo movie, and Paul Walker and Vin Diesel turned down a solo movie, and that The Rock accepting a solo movie is indicative of him being greedy and turning his back on Fast Family. Drew, what do you think of that?
I think they're fucking hating because The Rock reinvigorated the entire franchise.
Yes.
Without The Rock, there would not have been a Fast 6.
It wouldn't be the same.
Or a Fast 7 or a whatever the fuck else they're doing. As far as I'm concerned, Tyrese Gibson should thank his lucky stars that The Rock came around and made him a fucking millionaire again.
Yes, made him relevant.
Yeah, before The Rock came around, nobody gave a fuck about you, Tyrese, and now you're in a Fast and the Furious movie with The Rock, and now all of a sudden you have Instagram clout.
Yeah.
So keep your big mouth shut. All
right, crazy.
And if I were you, I would get on your hands and knees and beg The Rock not to rock bottom your punk ass.
Just take the check.
Why are they hating? Drew just wants to know why they hating.
I just wonder why they're hating. The Rock is one of the hardest working men in Hollywood.
Yeah, is it his fault that he's working so hard?
That motherfucker is just...
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere. He's knocked out of the park. I mean, with 7 bucks... on top of being, you know, a social media guy.
Yeah,
you know,
all over social media.
He's also, you know, one of the top 10 highest paid guys in Hollywood.
Yep.
And he started not only his own production company this year, but also his own marketing firm.
Did he really?
7 Productions Marketing.
That's smart.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Such a hard worker. And Gibson's like, man, I want to work too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's your
exactly
work is what it keeping is. Me from working, man.
Yep.
And then it came out, this may be then, this information may have come out to quell the fires and get Gibson to shut up a bit. But now it's rumored Fast and the Furious 9 pushed back to 2020 to make room for the return of their director, Justin Lin, who did Fast and Furious 3 through 7. Mm-hmm. And then he stepped away to do something else with 8, ended up doing Star Trek Into Darkness. No, Star Trek Beyond, excuse me. Mm. And he is now currently developing the Hot Wheels movie as well as something else. So they're like, we want you to come back. So they may be pushing that so Justin Lin can come back there. And Gibson, meanwhile, is freaking out. He's freaking out, man. We teased this earlier. The Mummy didn't do as great as Universal was hoping monetarily. That may play into their decision to push back the release date for their next movie, which is going to be Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
The Frankenstein monster going to be played by Javier Bardem. Bride of Frankenstein, the bride, supposed to be played by Angelina Jolie, directed by Bill Condon. Here is the official release from the studio. After thoughtful consideration, Universal Pictures and director Bill Condon have decided to postpone Bride of Frankenstein. None of us want to move too quickly to meet a release date when we know this special movie needs more time to come together. Bill's a director whose enormous talent has been proven time and again, and we all look forward to continuing to work on this together, end quote. So they're just saying they need more time and they don't want to try to meet a release date. Know what I mean? Anyone care at all for a Bride of Frankenstein movie, though?
Mm.
It was a huge hit when it came out, but that was, again, the 1930s.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to bring back, especially now that horror has got its
a very interesting resurgence, yes.
Yeah. I think they were a little bit ahead of the curve in trying to bring back the Universal Monsters.
Maybe.
When I first saw that The Mummy was coming out and Tom Cruise was that, I'm like, why?
Why was the question I asked too? Why would Tom Cruise make a mummy movie? And right. Why would they want Tom already making a Mission Impossible? No, it's supposed to be. But then when you see the movie, it's like, okay, I see why he wanted to do it. What he got out of it, but it just.
Mission Mesopotamia.
Sort of. But then at the end, he becomes a monster. Spoiler, it's already out on home video, right? I think it is.
I blinked and it was already on demand.
Yeah. It's quick. They use the minimum of that 90-day window for it to, like, now it's not available for people to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Bride of Frankenstein. It's a weird choice. But they have everyone cast. They have their bride. They have their Frankenstein. They got Johnny Depp as the Invisible Man. They already have their Jekyll and Hyde with Russell Crowe. And who else are they? They already have introduced another.
I'm interested.
I forgot who else they had.
I'm a Russell Crowe fan. I've always said he will be my future ex-husband, even though I've never been married.
I've always liked him. He can be great.
Yes. He can be really good, and he's really dedicated into character. And he's one of those actors, kind of like Colin Firth, that can act completely without speaking. His expressions are tight.
Yeah, he's I mean, he's good. You ever see, I'm asking if you've ever seen him. I'm sure you have, Romper Stomper.
Oh, my God.
The original, I mean, man, that's the movie that really launched him. You can see why. He was very magnetic in that. And
yeah, he was.
Dangerous, almost. Like, they found this guy on the street, like a real dude, and they put him out there, you know?
Romper Stomper is one of the movies that I've seen it, but I don't ever want to see it again. Kind of like Hotel Rwanda.
Yeah, sure,
it's
one of those
so
ones.
It's so intense.
Yeah.
It's like,
no. Romper Stomper is a see it in one saying, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I'm good. It was good, but I don't need to see this again.
Yeah, yeah.
Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Man.
I love that movie. I don't need to see it again.
I have an awful joke about Hotel Rwanda.
Oh, gosh.
If you want that awful joke,
joke. You can email it. I can't email it either. You have to watch.
All right, so you have to Facebook friend Drew, and if he Facebook friends you.
Chris, name this scene.
Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, when he's pretending he's on an African road, but he's
No. Hotel Rwanda, when he's driving down the road. Yeah, you see, that's that's the reaction I'm looking for.
Jen's
right
laughing.
There.
She's giving me the I don't want to laugh.
No.
Exactly,
I don't want to laugh.
It's so funny that it's so
it's
awful.
Laugh,
Yeah.
It is. It's hilarious.
Good call, probably.
it's Carrot Top should find a way to work that into his material.
It really does.
I don't know why I'm picking on Carrot Top. You know. All right, let's move on to...
Winter Park?
Yeah, Winter Park represent.
The world famous...
Vox Populi. Populi. Vox Populi.
That's right, you see something and then you let us know what you see. Or you send us questions, Crespedone battles, etc., etc. Cinema Crespediso at gmail.com. We'll also accept stuff in our Facebook group, Cinema Crespediso. And then Drew Sakagrun will read it. Drew, take it away.
I got an email from Cremella.
What's up, Cremella?
Blade Runner 2049 review.
All right, here we go.
What's up? You both do a pretty good job of not giving away any key plot points or spoilers in your movie reviews. However, we try. The people in the Vox Populi give no fucks at all. And I frequently find myself having to yank my earbuds out. This can be especially problematic if I'm riding a bike as my earbuds might become damaged in the wheel spokes. Therefore, the first half of my review of Blade Runner 2049 is vague and 100% spoiler-free. Drew will give listeners fair warning before the spoilers begin.
All right.
Yeah, that happened last week, I'm pretty sure, during one of the movie reviews. Came away a plot point, and seeing as I didn't read the email beforehand, I just read it, and after I said it, I was like, oh!
Oh, yeah, that happens.
Nope.
That happens.
All right.
Yeah, Drew does not, we do not pre-read the emails. I don't pre-read them, I just forward them to Drew automatically.
And I just read them.
And then Drew just cold reads them.
Oopsie.
That's what makes reading Ron's email so fun. Anyway, go ahead.
Blade Runner is good. Very good. Definitely a worthy successor to the original. It manages to remain faithful to the original while creating and expanding a whole new world. Blade Runner is visually on par with Doctor Strange and Neon Demon with a better narrative. Sitting through a 50-minute television is challenging for me, so it is a testament to Villeneuve's filmmaking ability that the 3-hour running time flies by. I didn't have the option of seeing Blade Runner on an IMAX type screen, so I saw it in 3D. I'm not a 3D fan, and the movie wasn't shot for it, but the 3D did make the film's environment seem even more immersive. Now for the spoilers and references to the Blade Runner spoiler-filled episode. Kindly remove your headphones and fast forward 5 minutes as Drew calmly counts to five, okay?
Well, what's Jen gonna do? Jen's stuck in the studio with us.
I'll forget. It's fine.
All right.
Four, five. All right. Should I continue?
Yeah, continue. Spoilers for the next 30 seconds.
You asked, was the movie loud in a normal theater? Yes, perfectly loud.
Okay.
Is he or isn't he? I love the creative ways the movie kept the replicant debate alive. One thing that you didn't discuss was that Deckard was living in the middle of a fallout zone, or that he could have been for decades. The humans hunting him in Vegas were all wearing what assumed were radiation masks. You both mentioned, mentioned the nail painting drone scene. That was one of my favorites and one of the numerous 2017 parallels. And number four, the ending was perfect. This part of the movie seems to get wrong more than any other. The bittersweet ending with the Tears in the Rain song coming in was outstanding.
All right, yeah, there you go. I will let it all. It is a perfect ending. I love the ending of the movie.
Yeah, it was.
And that wasn't that spoilery, I guess. That wasn't too bad. That was a good thing. All right, thanks, Carmelo. And he liked it.
He did.
He's on the side of check it out.
Yes.
He agrees.
All right, we got a Bad Batch review from somebody on Facebook.
I think that's from Paul.
Paul Hine.
That's our homie Paul.
The Bad Batch.
The Bad Batch. That's a new Anna Lily Amirpour who made Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. You ever see that one?
No.
That's good.
Really good.
Black and white vampire movie. Came out a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Check it out. It's really good.
Okay.
Hey, Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Somewhere outside of Texas, in what I can assume is Mexico, people who are no longer accepted as part of society are labeled Bad Batch and tossed out of the great country behind a wall. Mm. This must be a post-Trump's wall.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Bodybuilder, cannibals, a wandering trash collector, a life of comfort fueled by one man, and a girl with the will to love all finds ways to live among the Bad Batch. This movie just didn't do it for me. There were a few scenes I enjoyed, but overall it wasn't great. Check it out just for some of the absurd shit, but it wouldn't be worth a second watch.
Oh, all right. I still got to get around to it, man. I want to watch it. I want to see it, too. Well, you seem to like it okay enough. It wasn't too over. That's a thing.
It seems like it. This is like maybe Any Limit Amanpour's... what was that off?
Sucker Punch?
Sucker Punch. Right. You know, where big ideas, mm-hmm. big visuals, mm-hmm. doesn't really pan out or come through.
That's not fun.
We've got... all right. There we go. We have a Crespo Dome battle.
Crespo Dome battle. Oh,
from our boy Simran Deep Singh.
Our homie Simmy. What's up, Simmy? Crespo Dome battle. Let's do it.
Young Harrison Ford versus now Ryan Gosling.
Young Harrison Ford versus now Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, so Blade Runner Harrison Ford versus Blade Runner Ryan Gosling.
Okay, who is the better actor?
At that point in time?
Ooh. I'd honestly put him like the same level of acting ability.
Because
Harrison Ford is, he's got it.
Yeah, he does.
He's good.
He has it.
But he's never honestly like blown me away as an actor like Daniel Day-Lewis.
No, well, no, exactly. Well, it's because he's never.
He's also not bad at all.
He's never. I don't think he's that type of actor.
He just does his thing. He just does his Harrison Ford thing.
Yeah, and it comes through. And, you know, it works when you're Han Solo followed by Indiana Jones, you know, Blade Runner, all these kind of anti-hero-ish characters. They're, you know, they're slick, they're cool. Yeah. They're very Harrison Ford.
Yeah. Air Force One, Witness regarding Henry.
It's all the same thing. Yeah. I feel like Ryan Gosling does the same thing where it's like, reduce all my dialogue. Let me just, like, stare.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Let me stare and be pretty and...
Let me be pretty and use my abs to express themselves.
Exactly.
He never sees abs. That's no. Funny, like, does he have...
He's
does,
got a really
Does Officer K have good abs? I assume he does.
Probably.
I assume he's ripped.
Yeah.
If I have to give one of them the edge, I'm going to go with Ford just because of the iconic level of characters that he's been a part of over the years.
Agreed.
Even though we're talking young Ford versus young Gosling, even young Ford has still had Han Solo.
Han Solo.
And Indiana Jones
underneath his belt. You know?
He had some swag.
Yeah, because he did Raiders. That's why Blade Runner was not well received by people. Because you're like, oh, a new Harrison Ford movie. Why is he so dour?
You're like, oh, it's new. Oh, I don't get this? It.
It's like, oh, it's making me dark and depressed inside. And it's not fun like the Star Wars is and the Joneses of Indiana.
And I don't understand it.
And I don't understand. It's another big thing too. So are we all agreeing on that one? Ford?
Yeah.
I would having not seen the movie. I would agree on that.
Okay.
Based on principle.
But who won in a fight?
Well, I mean, Harrison Ford did already punch Ryan Gosling in the face.
Pretty funny. Punch him in the face once. That's good stuff. So did Cinema Crispy. So guest Brett Rice as he got punched in the face by Wesley Snipes that one time.
Correct.
Weird plug for our own show that we're listening to.
Go Jones.
I'm gonna go with.
You know what? I'm going to go with Ryan Gosling strictly for the drive scene where he smashes that dude's total head in with his feet.
Gosling has done more violent movies thanks to his affiliation with Nicholas Winding Refn. And Only God Forgives. He got the
And beats the shit out of some people, too.
He does beat some people up. I think he has more physicality than Harrison Ford does.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with Gosling in this one.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm going to stay with Harrison Ford because he seems to enjoy the drink a lot more now.
Okay.
And he could get a little, he could probably get a little angry drunk.
Get off my plane. And pass me that weed. I'm so upset.
Unhand my scotch.
That's a bit of a shock. Unhand my scotch. Mark, you're going for that one.
Yeah, I think I am. Just because he's just seems more laid back now, but I think he could still throw.
All right, well, I think based
good punch.
Throwing that on top of the acting round, looks like young Ford is the overall winner of that Crespo Dome battle. So congratulations, young Harrison Ford. Drew,
Chris, we've got an email from our homeboy Gabe.
What's up, Gabe?
Entitled "Columbus Was a Prick." First off, let me say that the Dolby experience is everything it's hyped up to be. Blacker blacks, richer color, especially with the sound. It really does throw you in the screen.
Interesting. They have one of them Dolbies at the AMC Altamont. They have a Dolby theater.
Let's check it out.
Yeah.
Loved being rattled by a movie. $20 is pricey, but with my hopping habits, I'm ahead of the movie ticket game.
True. Yeah, he's a movie and theater hopper.
Three reviews, Blade Runner, Rough Night, and Ghost Story.
Rough Night, all right, here we go.
Blade Runner. Knew only about the teardrop rain ending, nothing else. Really have to look for characters' expressions to get into the psychology of it.
Yes.
Cool world, the Tyrell Tower reminded me of a Stargate, and the city reminded me of the new Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
Went home with some video research on the book and the making of Blade Runner. I've come to my own conclusions, but it's good to know even Ridley Scott and Harrison Ford don't agree.
Yeah, they still argue about
Ford and Howard are great, the movie is good, but I feel like I might revisit it only one more time.
Oh, okay.
So that was the original Blade Runner.
Yeah, he saw the original one, yep.
Rough Night. Captures the emotion of Bridesmaids. Acting during the climax is fantastic, but not as funny, although funnier than I expected, but the storyline is on par with Girls' Night. I don't know, mediocre, in the middle, but not indifferent, funny enough, wait for Netflix. And Ghost Story.
Okay.
Had high hopes. Strange movie. Long still shots that make it feel like a drag. I identify emotionally with the idea of being attached, but it gets weird, guys. Apparently a personal venture for the director, so I might give it another chance on streaming. Not for everyone.
I gotta get around to it, man. I was about to say,
it seems, I mean, you're into people staring off into the nothingness while wind blows by on film.
I think so.
Yeah, so you'll probably really enjoy this movie.
I like meditative stuff, yeah.
Michael Winslow needs to come and join us in the show.
Thank you!
Have you had a chance to see any of those? Did you see Rough Night?
No.
We haven't seen that one. I want to see that. I heard it's funny. Ghost Story?
I thought we saw Rough Night.
No, we did see Rough Night. I'm thinking Girls Trip.
Yes.
It's kind of the same thing.
I think Girls Trip is the better version.
Is it?
Yeah, it's much better reviewed. We saw Rough Night.
Is that the one where Kate McKinnon plays an Australian?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. I don't know what that accent was. Yes, it is.
Yeah,
it is, mate. I kind of recovered it there a bit. It's a bit Australian there at the end. Yeah. Let's go to Outback and let's go. Well, it is awful. Well, it is awful, that's for sure. But I'm going to keep it up.
And that's in the
Vox Populi. It's in the Vox Populi. All right, here we go. That means it's time for... Where is it?
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What? Dude, we're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, it's time for Billy D's Death of the Movies, Movies, Movies. You can also check out Billy D's Postmortem on the YouTubes, PFTV, so named by Drew. Thank you, Drew. Mm-hmm. Billy D's Postmortem is his countdown of the top 100 movies. His top 100 movies is Essential 100s, and the latest episode will be dropping Monday, every Monday, new episode, so you can check it out at pftmedia.com or just search on YouTube, Billy D's Postmortem. And it comes right up. But he hits us up every week with his Death at the Movies. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
I've been spending the last few days taking pics and videos at Comic-Con. Yeah. It is the most packed I've ever seen a convention.
Nerds.
It's been an exhausting weekend. I never even made it out to see Blade Runner.
Aww.
But I did get a chance to watch Kathy's Curse on Shudder.
Okay.
I got a free month of Shudder for
October. Is that Kathy with a C or a K? I'm sorry.
With a C.
Okay.
I got a free month of Shudder for October at the convention, and am exploiting the crap out of it.
Shudder's that, like, Netflix for horror films, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. My love of the Great White North is pretty well documented, and yet I had never heard of Canucksploitation films.
What?
Canucksploitation?
Okay.
Bless you.
I think they are just exploitation movies made in the 70s in Canada.
All right.
The same amount of gore, just more apologizing. Kathy's Curse is a Canadian version of Annabelle and the Bad Seed, and it was a terrible, hilarious, and baffling experience. A crew of us got together last night over stiff drinks and heaping bowls and had a blast roasting the shit out of this movie. This is a prime film for home viewing, while you can exclaim out loud how shitty it is. Totally worth watching for a super fun time with friends. And for the more metal inclined in our audience, I'd like to recommend the 8th studio album by the Black Dahlia Murder, Nightbringers. This album destroys. The opening track, Widowmaker, is one hell of a ripper. Stay cool, Billy D.
One hell of a ripper.
I've listened to
Black Dahlia Murder. They have one hell of a ripper on that one, Drew.
I love me some Black Dahlia Murder, Chris.
You know who else loves Black Dahlia Murder? Yeah. The Australians love Black Dahlia Murder.
Do they?
Drew, they love it down there. Down under. There's always torn in Melbourne.
I'm not talking anymore.
In Sydney.
I'm done.
Bloomin'
onions. Bloomin' onions.
Put another shrimp on the Barbie.
Put another shrimp on the Barbie.
Foster's.
In the Ken doll as well. In the Foster's. Canadian for beer.
Canadian for beer.
The Canucksploitation.
I believe that's Molson. I believe Molson is Canadian for beer.
Oh, blew that one. All right. Yeah. Well, that means... all right. That means more vodka is needed, and maybe I should eat something.
And perhaps end the show.
And time for...
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Here we go, Jen. You've done this before. I got 10 questions, and I need 10 answers. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Number one. Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Where do we go from here?
San Diego.
Number two, what is time?
Relative.
Number three, why are we who we are?
Because.
Number four, what is blue?
Cheap ripoff of purple.
Number five, to the left or to the right?
Always to the left, to the left.
To the left, to the left. Number six, are souls important?
Sure.
Number seven, straight and narrow or crooked and spacious?
Crooked and spacious.
Number eight, have you ever built a snowman?
No.
Number nine, should we level all the mountains?
No.
Number 10, more concrete or less trees?
Ooh. I'm stumped on that.
That's
one.
That's a conundrum.
I have an interesting relationship with concrete right now, so... I can't say less trees, but I can't say more concrete.
Oh,
so I'm stuck.
You're stuck. All right, that's the answer. You're officially stuck. That yes. means it's time for some swag baggery. Drew, I'm sorry. They're over there from the Simon time. I had to rearrange things. So Drew's got to travel across the... While he does that, I'll read you the first chapter of Moby Dick. No, never mind. Drew's back.
Oh, my goodness.
So here we go. We got three bags. Blue bag, stripey bag, purple bag. Which one do you may want to go home with today?
Well... Anyone who knows me knows that I own and love and respect everything purple.
You got all purple cane, purple pimp cane, purple bag. We got the Orlando Pride scarf. You're all purpled up.
Go Pride.
Go Pride.
Woo!
So we're going with the purple bag.
We're going with the purple.
All right, Drew, go ahead and break open the bag. Let's see what Jen made.
You may get to go home with Magic Grow Safari Animals. It comes in three styles, but there are clearly four.
So
in
you
the
get
package.
A bonus style.
Nice. Big Scott High Flying Fun, a micro fighter. It's a plane and launcher. Watch it launch.
Pew pew.
We've got a green honeycomb tissue bowl.
Yes, have a nice. Party.
Fun Fling Silly Shots. It's a ball with a face on it.
Yes,
sling, so silly.
Sling that ball with a face.
We got a Cinema Crest producer bootleg copy of Call of the Wild.
Right.
And a Feral 94 Jason Kidd rookie card and a whole bunch of stickers.
Nice. All that stuff for a total value of maybe $8, $8 or $9, depending on the value of that Jason Kidd card.
Nice
Not
stickers.
Worth very much, I guarantee you that. Or we take that bag. I take this bag right here and I put it away. You never see it again. Again, and it said, yeah, take what Juicer has in a box right over here.
It's so tough.
What are we going to do, Jan? What are we going to do? You can take what's in the box, or you can take what's in this bag. You know what's in the bag.
I do know what's in the bag.
Or you can take the mystery of the box.
I believe I took the box last time.
Yes.
So I think I will take the bag.
Hey, take that bag. There Woo! You go. And I'm going to hit this button right here.
Yay, stickers.
Well done, Jen. Well done. Do you agree, Drew?
Well done.
Well done, Jen. Well done.
Thank
something,
you.
Cause something may have been forgotten to be done this week. You may have avoided the Zonkia Zonkaval.
Yeah, yeah.
The boxes are often Zonks by default, but I think you made a wonderful choice there. Drew, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Jen, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Can't wait to have you back again. We'll do it again soon.
Let's do.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Make sure you rate and review us on iTunes. Listen to us on Stitcher, Google Play, however you like the show. And listen to all we have at PFT Media. And check out Billy Lee's Postmortem. Remember, break up the big banks. Read more books. Be excellent to each other. Fuck the NFL. NFL is trash. But also support the NFL because of the whole Donald Trump thing now. God, Donald Trump, you ruin everything you touch.
Yeah, you do.
You ruin everything.
Rest God. In peace, Tom Petty.
Rest in peace, Tom Petty. But seriously, classic rock stations, you don't need to play Tom Petty 24/7. We get it. You were doing that already. And also, rest in peace, Ralphie May. But that's not a surprise. No one's surprised by that. Come on. And also, he wasn't that funny to begin with. So, read more books. That's it. We're out of here.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy.
Check, 1, 2, check, welcome, 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 welcome. Check, check, check. Check, 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 check. All right, good. Staying out of the red.
Waka, waka, waka.
Yeah, let's get a good mic check out of you, Jen.
Sure.
You're on mic 3. Go ahead and talk to that mic.
Testing. Sibilance, sibilance. Check, check, check.
Very good. Excellent.
Excellent. How does the cinematography compare in Blade Runner?
Oh, man, it's like... Because it's Deakins, so...
Right.
It's, What's the guy's name? Jordan Cronenweth, the guy who did the original?
Yeah.
Rewatching it, it's amazing how it's still very natural, but obviously heavy with the shadows. Mm-hmm. Lots of lights passing through blinds, so the lights are perforated. You know, a lot of stuff like that. They work a lot with, like, shadows. This one, obviously a little more stylized, a little more color.
Right.
The recurrent image I keep thinking of, even though it may have only happened twice, two or three times.
Pick a neon color.
Decent amount of green.
So much neon orange.
Decent amount of green, and still some scenes that are also, like, again, very dark, very working with shadow. Like the whole water, the ending sequence.
Oh, yeah, that
like
was
you,
all.
You don't see more than, like, 15 feet around them. So they're obviously, like, on a set somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
But what's implied is this huge, gigantic thing that you can't see beyond the. Beyond the darkness.
Or even, just the scene with the fake Elvis impersonator. So much
the
darkness.
The holograms.
The only light that was coming through was either from the holograms themselves or from the stage lighting. Everything was flickering and weird.
Which they showed that real quick in the trailer, the nightclub scene. Yeah. Where the dancers, the dancers are all holograms. And what surprised me the most with that scene is the sound design of that scene was very fascinating.
Yes, it was.
But a great sound design in the movie. But when it comes to, it's definitely a little more stylized, but still in the same, it's the same world, same universe.
Right. But same palette, but I would
almost say updated. Still more modernized.
All right.
Whereas Cronenweth went with the, let's do 50s. 40s, 50s,
like
Humphrey Bogart,
noir.
Howard Hawks film noir, Naked City style film noir, but, you know, in a sci-fi setting. This is more like, let's take that same thing, but then romanticize it more.
Okay.
Almost like everything has more of a glow to it in sort of a way. It's weird. It's like the difference between the original Indiana Joneses and how they're all, straight up just realistic lit. You know, not stylized at all.
Yeah, I know.
And then the newest one is Emmanuel Lubezki, and
so
he shot it to look like a Drew Struzan poster, where
everything
has a glow.
Everything is so glowy and rich. And
it's
saturated.
Like, whereas the original Indiana Jones is where the real Indiana Jones, Crystal Skull, is like this idealized through a lens version. It's weird when you revisit something and even use a different artist 20, 30 years later.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I wondered about that. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's the type of movie I want to live in terms of just...
Yes.
Just bathe in it.
I mean, that universe...
It's 2 hours, it serves 40 minutes.
It'd be a shitty... It'd be a really shitty universe to live in, actually. Yeah. But goddamn, is it pretty to visit.
Unless you're rich as hell, it's a terrible place to actually live, but...
Just want to
live. We can vacation there.
We could vacation there.
I'll just take a 2-hour, 40-minute vacation whenever I want. Just pop it in.
Just vacation to hell.
Yeah.
A PFT Media production.